Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome. How are you doing? Very good. We want to use our time well today, so let's move into our passage this morning. It comes from Romans chapter 12. And I know it's one that will be familiar to you, but to Romans 1, 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You heard that one before? I thought so. Great passage. One of the things that is always good, it's always helpful in Paul when you're reading his letters, is when he says, I urge, or you may have, I think King James was beseech. We got any King James people? You just beseech. I ask you, you may have a different words. I implore, that kind of thing. Whatever he is going to say is important to him. In other words, you can read through his letters and you'll see this pop up. Urge, implore, beseech, whatever it is. And usually, well, I'm going to say probably without exception, in his letters, what he says that follows is important to Paul. It's not that all of it's not important, but a really important point is about to be made by him. So Paul says here at the beginning, I urge. That means listen. That means listen. It's important to him. We are to be living sacrifices. We are to be living sacrifices. And if you think about it, that's kind of an oxymoron in a way, isn't it? You know, to be a living sacrifice, because usually a sacrifice is something that gets killed. So there's just the language there is kind of catchy in a way that makes you kind of perk up and listen there for a second. But we're to be living sacrifices. And one of the things that's important there for us to realize is this. Paul is making a point that Christianity, being a follower of Christ, is about living. It is about living. It's about being alive. Now, yes, there is the notion, and it is very valid. We die to our sins. In baptism, our sins are forgiven. We die to the old self. We walk in what, though? A newness of life. It is about living. It is about being alive. So we walk in newness of life. And if you think about it, this would have probably been strange in that ancient world back then. It probably would have been a strange thing for them. Because what you would have had is, you had Jerusalem, of course, and Jerusalem was what? It was a center where the temple was, and one of the functions of the temple is that's where these sacrifices took place. And they weren't the only ancient peoples with the idea of sacrifice. In other words, animals being brought and killed as an offering to the god. That was done all over that ancient world. So it would have seemed strange in many ways. And probably is a very good conversation point for a number of people. In other words, as you're probably trying to tell somebody about what your religion is or what it is you believe in, one of the questions they might have is, where do you offer your sacrifices? And the answer would be what? In my body. In my life. It is in my life that my sacrifice is offered. And that is done when? Every day. As long as there is breath in my body is what? A sacrifice to the Lord. There is no place that we have to go to. In fact, just... The fun of it was the commercials you see for, you know, the Eat More Chicken. I got to thinking, I could imagine all these animals that got sacrificed holding up signs saying, follow Jesus. You know? I mean, my little mind works in funny ways sometimes. But I mean, you can almost imagine that. All these animals that get sacrificed, follow Jesus. You know? All the cows want you to eat more chicken. Go to Chick-fil-A. But it would have been strange, but it would have been an opening for a discussion. And one of the things you see is that Jesus is saying, and Paul is trying to remind us, there's a new way that things are to be done. And it's about living, not dying. He took care of the dying, didn't he? He took care of the dying. One of the reasons you would offer the sacrifices is because of sins, your sins. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the things you would do and you would bring your offering is you would lay your hand on it. Now, there's debate as to whether or not you were transferring your sins or just identifying it as your sacrifice to the priest. But whatever it was, you would bring this animal and this animal would die in your stead. And now, there is a great big no to all of that. It's about living. Living sacrifices. And he makes the point here, that's what true worship really is, isn't it? This is your spiritual act of worship. A life lived as a sacrifice to God. A life lived as a sacrifice to God. Our bodies are living sacrifices. Then you get into this business about conform or transform. And the first thing I want to note there is simply this, and this will be a point that will be important later for us. You are becoming something. You're not static. You're not set. You are becoming something. Now the good question to ask might be, what? What are you becoming? And again, I was thinking for a way to maybe try to illustrate something like this, and my mind came back to when I was young. My father had a side business that he would do. He had his job with General Motors, but he had a little side business that he ran. Well, not all of his life. There was a number of years, though, that he ran it. And what he had done is he had bought this machine that would make signs that go on the side of your car. Okay? And so what it was a vacuum forming machine. In other words, the way they did it back then is you had this big piece of plastic, and on a piece of chipboard, you would glue the letters. In fact, it's one of the things, I don't know why I did it, I saved out of the estate, all those old aluminum letters. I don't know why, just cool, but I remember that. But you'd lay it all out, and then you would put this piece of plastic, it's just a flat piece of plastic in there, you'd lay it on this thing, you'd roll this over, and it had these quartz heaters in the top. So you roll it over the top of it, and there were holes so you could look in. And you turn on the heat. And in a little bit, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds, the plastic would sag, and then you flip on that vacuum switch, and it'd suck the air out of that chamber, and it would form it perfectly around all those letters. Then you take that out, and you paint it, and of course you've got your thing around there where you glue your magnetic strip, and he would sell these to people to put on the side of their car to advertise. Okay? And the point I simply wanted to make is this. You're that piece of plastic. What are you going to say? What is the message that you're going to say? When the letters of your life are arranged and the heat of life comes, and when that vacuum switch is finally turned and it all gets sucked down and set into place, what is it going to say? Are you conforming to the world? Are you going to be transformed into what God wants you to be? Which is it going to be? I go to sleep with the TV on. I put the little sleep timer on. It was one of those travel shows. Y'all ever watch Globe Trekker? And whoever was doing it was in Pennsylvania, and they were over in the Amish country. And they were talking to one of the Amish that was willing to talk to him. He said the Amish had this saying. Something, it goes something to this. Like I said, I was half asleep, but it just fit with the sermon so well. They said, you folks wave at us because we're different. We wave at you because you're all the same. I thought that was kind of interesting, wasn't it? In other words, you're waving at us because we're odd and we're different. We wave back, but we're thinking, you guys are all the same. This is a challenge in this text to be different than the rest of the world. To be different. To be that way. Now, how do you go about doing that? One of the things I would suggest to you is this. One of the first places we start is, and I'm just thinking, this is just a cultural thing that we deal with. Quit worrying so much about the physical. Now, sidetrack for just a second. Let me explain this. The physical that I'm talking about here, I do believe that our body, soul, spirit is all united together. What happens in our body is important, okay? What I'm talking about is that we live in a culture that is very obsessed with appearances. That is very, very obsessed with appearances. Okay? In other words, We may do something that is terrible for our body, but as long as our body looks good, we think everything's all right. Okay, let's spell it out. Somebody that smokes but whitens their teeth. Right? There's a good industry in that, right? Yeah? Want to look good. On the inside, what do those lungs look like? Yeah. It's a nurse speaking. Yeah. You get the idea there. And that's what I'm talking about here, is we really need to do as much as we can. And I know we're not God, and I know we can't go there, but what does God look at in a person? He looks at the heart. Try to look at the heart. Look at our own hearts. And what do we want that to be? What do we want that to look like? Second thing I would suggest to you is, do what you know to do. Do what you know that it is God wants from you. Now, what I'm going to suggest to you is, and I think this could be borne out by everybody in here, you're going to keep learning through the rest of your life. Amen? Is anybody in here, stop. You're in trouble, okay? You're going to be learning the rest of your life. Well, quit worrying about the stuff you don't know. And worry about the stuff you do know. I guarantee you, everybody sitting here has some things in your life that you know God wants from you and He wants you to do that is a part of His will, right? Is everybody sitting? I mean, if it's a mystery, we'll talk later, we'll work on it. I have a feeling everybody sitting here has a notion of what it is God wants from them in their life. There's at least one thing you know that God probably would like changed, right? Is there one thing about you that needs changing for God's sake? And I don't mean that God's sake idly. The answer is yes. Change it. Start working on that transformation. Now, as you go down the road, there may be other things that are made clear to you. Change those too. But quit worrying about the things you're unsure about and change the things that you know about. Do those. Change those type of things. And I want to get this in as a little side comment here. It's okay to make mistakes. Mistakes are going to get made. The problem comes when you figure out it's a mistake and you don't change it. Amen. Right? Because I've seen people very often that are terrified of making a mistake. I'm one of them. Especially if you guys know about it. I mean, I get mad enough at myself when I make one that I know about. When I make one that everybody knows about, I'm just embarrassed. One of the things you've got to learn to get over, make mistakes. For God's sake. Make mistakes for God's sake. It's okay. Because if it's not clear and you're really doing it for God's sake, don't you think it's going to get cleared up somewhere down the road? I think it will. Mistakes are okay. For God's sake. We're going to make them. All right? I remember yesterday watching the soccer game, Molly's soccer game. One little girl, you're not supposed to touch with your hand, touched the ball with her hand. Just broke out in tears because she knew she'd done something wrong. And what do you think all the parents on the sideline are yelling? You big dummy! I can't believe you did it! Were there any parents on the sideline yelling at her, you big dummy? The answer is no. What we were yelling is, it's okay. You touched the ball. They called a penalty. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about it. That's God. That's God. Okay? So let's work at it that way. And realize that in this transformation, this being transformed, you're being made into something unique. You're being made into something unique. You have been talented and gifted in certain ways, and there are things that you can do that make you unique from everybody else. That's why I like that Amish saying. We wave back because you guys are all the same. Oh, let's be different. Let's be different. Now we get really to the meat of what I wanted to come here today. As you get down there to the last, and in fact I tried to black it in for you there, bold it a little bit, this notion of being able to discern God's will. And see, here's the thing. Sometimes in life it's hard to discern God's will, isn't it? Now, I mean, there's times when it's easy. In other words, okay, should you be faithful to your spouse? What's God's will on that? Is that one really hard? No, we got that one, right? But there are other things in life. It may be tough to discern what God's will is. And that's a struggle sometimes. And I realize that. And this passage is a beautiful way into helping us learn how to discern what God's will is. It's teaching us that it's not about conforming to the world. It's being transformed into what God wants us to. And the more we become transformed in our lives into what God wants us to, the easier it becomes to discern God's will. And I'm not saying that'll clear up all mysteries. I'm just saying we grow. I'm just saying that we grow. Focus in your life on what you are becoming. Seriously, I want you to go back to my example earlier. Imagine that my dad is making a sign for each one of you that's going to go on your car to drive around town with. What do you want it to say? And make your life really that way. Here's the thing I want to end with. Here's what I want to end with this morning and help us to see. I still remember years ago listening to Willard Tate. If y'all remember him, some of y'all may remember Willard Tate. He was talking in this particular case to a bunch of college students. And he told them, he said, I want you guys to imagine your perfect mate. Whoever it is that you want to marry, imagine who that is. Write it down. Start writing it. You know? Don't show anybody. Don't tell anybody. We're not going to share this. This is for your eyes only. Write it down. Write it down. Gives everybody some time to do that. And he says, okay, look at that list. Now ask yourself, what kind of person do I have to become to attract someone like that? That's pretty good, isn't it? Always stuck with me. What are you being transformed into? That's important. That's important. We good, church? All right. We're going to extend our time of invitation here in just a moment. We're going to sing the song that Marion has selected. I'm going to be waiting at the back. Well, Ed's going to be there with me. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds this morning. I don't know what's there. But if you're ready this morning to become a member and a part of this church, that would be great. If there's something we need to pray about today, can we pray about it? If there's something that needs to be reconciled, can we get it reconciled? I don't know what the needs are. Let's take care of them. If you're ready this morning to put Jesus on as Lord and Savior and be baptized, we're ready to do that too. Just let us know. Let's stand and sing. Open up.